Hiya. We're going to read in 2 Corinthians, please, and chapter 3. 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. I'm having a wee laugh to myself because the last time I spoke here on a Sunday night, David Grant was sitting over there and Beth McKillen was sitting over there and they hadn't met yet. And so I don't know if there's any budding romances in the house this evening, but David didn't even have the courtesy to come tonight. So my friends are dropping like flies tonight. It doesn't say much that they're the people that have heard me preach the most. David, Ian and Johnny, all absent. But we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word and the report. Johnny said to do either, so I'm going to do both. But we're going to start by reading God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll really 18 we want to look at, but we'll read verse 17 just because it's a really good verse. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's read it again. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we look to God to bless that reading of his word. I don't know if you could see any link in that verse to caterpillars. It's maybe not instantly obvious, but there is a word in this verse, transformed, and it comes from, it's the Greek word where we get metamorphosis from, metamorphosis. And it's the idea of being completely changed in form, completely changed in form, metamorphosis. And you get the wee caterpillar or whatever that goes into its cocoon, and time passes by, and then lo and behold, you've got a butterfly. And you get this word metamorphosis three times in the New Testament. We've only read one of them, but you would read about it in Matthew 17, and you've got the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And no doubt, like the rest of them, out of breath, getting to the top of a hill and sweating and thirsty and whatever else comes with that human exercise. And he and his humanity has scaled this hill, and then he is transfigured. There is this change in form, and they see his glory. And when we think about metamorphosis in Matthew 17, it's about revelation. He wasn't any less glorious on the way up the hill or on the way down the hill, but there was a revelation of that glory. He allowed them to see something, just something, of his glory. And then we would read in Romans chapter 12 in verse 1 and 2 that we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and it tells us not to be not to conform to this age, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's not so much the idea of revelation, but consecration. Consecration, the giving up of our life to God and being transformed as a result of a new mind. So you've got revelation in Matthew 17 in the mountain. You've got consecration in Romans chapter 12 on the altar. And then where we have read in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, we've got this transformation. Transformation. So metamorphosis leading to revelation, consecration, and transformation. And that is a pattern in our lives. Revelation. We behold Christ, and it motivates us to consecrate our lives to him. And then as we consecrate our lives to him, that brings about a transformation in our lives. And we just want to think for a little minute about this verse. And he starts there by saying, we all, with unveiled face. We all. Not just the elders, not just the older believers, not just the sisters, not just the brothers. We all. Without exception, there's this expectation that all of us will be a beholding people. We all. And it is with unveiled face, nothing between him and us. No barriers. The barriers that lie between are taken away, and we are able to behold his glory. It says, but we all with unveiled face are beholding. And this is in the present tense. It's a continuous action. So it's not that we sporadically behold. It's not that we behold on a Sunday morning and then that we behold on a weeknight during the week. It is that we are continuously beholding. It's a continuous action, not just a one-off. It's not just that we see something amazing and it kind of zaps us and boom, that's us set for life. I wish. But it's this continual dependency on God. To be continually making the choice to not behold certain things. I'll say that again because it will be a struggle for some of us. A continual commitment to not be beholding certain things in order that we might be beholding him. Continually beholding. And if you're interested in grammar, it's in the middle voice. And what that simply tells us, if you're as thick as me, you need somebody to tell you this because you don't know it for yourself. But it's the idea that nobody else can behold for you. This isn't something that's done to you. Something that you've got a responsibility to do yourself. You and I have a continuous responsibility to be beholding the glory of the Lord. So we need to play our part in this process. We need to take steps to make sure that we are beholding. Beholding as in a mirror. And we could go all through the references to the mirror in the Word of God, and it points us to the Word of God. That we come to the Word and we see ourselves in our sinfulness and we see him in his glory. And as we behold that, it brings about change in our lives. And what do we see? Are we beholding as in a mirror, words in black and white? No, it doesn't say that. Beholding as in a mirror, lots of different intellectual things that can be debated and pieced together. No, it doesn't say that. We are beholding the glory of the Lord. Isn't that exciting? You can open your Bible and you can behold the glory of the Lord. What a thought. And he has spoken to us in his word. He's made it available to us. And we've got this responsibility to be continually beholding his glory in the word. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we see his face as we read the word. And so the Bible can't remain closed. It is to be opened and other things foregone so that we can have time with him seeing his glory. And what is the outworking of this? What is the result of this? Well, it says that we will be transformed. If we play our part in the beholding, then there will be this transformation that takes place in our life. So if you're like me, and at times you lament the lack of transformation that there is in your life, then here is one of the keys. Maybe we've not been beholding his glory in the word as much as we should have been. I said that the idea of beholding was in the middle voice and our responsibility, and that's true. But when we come to the idea of being transformed, it's in the passive voice. And that means it's not something you can do to yourself. It's something that is done to you. I don't transform you. You don't transform me. We don't transform ourselves. God brings about a work of transformation in the life of his children. So piece this together. We've got a responsibility to be beholding his glory. And if we do that, then he's got a responsibility to be transforming us. And isn't it a good thing that our transformation isn't in our hands, it's in his. not limited by our weakness, by our lack of self-control, by our inability, by our lack of faith. But Almighty God is at work in transforming our lives. And again, it isn't a one-off thing. It's a continuous thing, a continual, ongoing work of transformation. You're not going to reach perfection, brothers or sisters, this side of eternity. But, and it could be tonight, we will see him and we'll be like him, because we'll see him as he is. We'll be like him. That's when we're going to be done with this wretched man that we are, and we'll be delivered from this body of death, and the fulfillment of redemption, to be delivered into the immediate presence of Christ and made with him. What a wonderful prospect. But until then, it is an ongoing work of transformation. What have we been transformed to? Into the same image. And this is the whole goal of Christianity, Romans 8:29, whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He didn't save us to make our lives better. That's a byproduct. He saved us that he might have the glory in transforming sinful wretches like us into conformity with his glorious son, to bring many sons to glory. Paul knew this as he thought about those that were in Galatia chapter 4 and 19. My little children, for whom I labour in birth, and the mothers of you here know what this is all about, for whom I labour in birth again until Christ is formed in you. He wasn't trying to make them more traditional. He wasn't trying to put them into some traditional mould. He was trying to form them into the very image of Christ. That's the goal. That is the goal. And he says, from glory to glory. From glory to glory. And I think the idea here is from glory to glory to glory. And it just reminds us this is a progressive work in our lives, an ongoing work. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so if the mirror is pointing us to the Word of God, then this is reminding us that the Spirit of God is at work in this transformative process that is underway in the lives of the children of God. The Word of God, the Spirit of God working in the children of God. And so I hope that that little verse will just give us some encouragement, give us some challenge that tonight when we go home, we all love to relax and to switch off and to watch certain things or to do certain things, but to make a decision. You know, somebody spoke to me this week. I gave a statistic last Saturday night that a young person, and I think it's taken into account waking hours, but young people with an average amount of screen time, if you multiply that out, will on average spend 25 years of their life on their phone. That's kind of terrifying. Somebody came and spoke to me this week, having heard that, and they said, my screen time is now limited to 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes a day. Wouldn't it be good if we could take that inspiration from a 12-year-old and put it into practice in our own life to just make some decisions? I'm going to behold that less. Some things need to not be beheld at all, but there's some things that we can just behold less, in order that we might behold him. That we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I trust that God will bless that reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, we sit here, and not all of us, but many of us have been spoiled with our upbringings and our parents and hearing the gospel when we're young. And our Father, we that have had that privilege, our Father, also know the sad reality of how much we struggle with being transformed. And we recognise, our God, that for individuals that have grown up without the love of a father, And without structure and consistency, and without the gospel in their lives, and with addiction from the womb, our Father, we know it must be so much harder. Our God, we are not sufficient of ourselves. But we thank you. The word of God says our sufficiency is of God. And do just pray, our Father, that as the fields are white unto harvest, that you would raise up labourers for the harvest, that you would burden hearts, that you would call individuals, our Father, that they might serve in this way. Our God, we pray for the assembly here, and thank you for them, for their generous spirit, for their sacrificial hearts, for their servant natures, and we pray your blessing upon them, and pray that you would continue to bless them. We thank you for the way that you have been moving in salvation in this place, and we pray that you might continue to do so for the sake of your own glory. And so we just commit all these things to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.